This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Happy 2026. A happy new year to everyone out there. I hope you all had a very safe and fun holiday with friends and family. We had an upset in college football last night. We will keep our eyes on the other big games going on as this show goes on. 3 more college football playoff games today, one of them early in the second half, Oregon and Texas Tech in the Orange Bowl. The Rose Bowl later on today, Alabama against the top seed Indiana. And then the Sugar Bowl tonight between a couple of SEC rivals, Ole Miss and Georgia. It's hard to believe that we are halfway through the 2020s already. 2016 was 10 years ago. That was a peak college year for me. Turned 21. The bar scene at a small college crowd was great. Very memorable year. We are quickly approaching 20 years since the Steelers won Super Bowl 40 in Detroit. Almost 10 years now since the Penguins went back-to-back winning the Stanley Cup trophy in 2016 and 2017. 13 years since the Pirates' last playoff win, over a decade since their last playoff appearance. Yeah, it hasn't been very pretty in the 2020s. Hence why I'm talking about things that happened over a decade ago, or close to it. Time is flying by. And in that time, we are witnessing one of the worst decades in the history of Pittsburgh sports. It's Donnie Football with you on 93.7 The Fan until 6. Dom DiTommaso is with me behind the glass. Our usual Thursday lineup is locked in, plus one. Jason Mackey at 2:35, Bob Pompiani at 3:15, Nick Faribault at 3:55, Steve Palazzolo at 4:15, Ray Fittipaldo at 5:15. Power rankings and total request Thursday. Do not take a holiday break either. Dom will have a debrief for you at 4:30. Pony and Chris will be back tomorrow getting you set for Steelers and Ravens. Sunday night, 8:20 at Acrisure Stadium. We will have pregame coverage on the Fan beginning at 5 that day. Myself, Jeff Hathorne, Mark Cabali, live from the Rivers Casino Sportsbook from 5 until kick. Lamar Jackson appears to be moving in the direction of playing in that game, starting for the Ravens in that game. And it's a chance for the Steelers to win their second division title of the half decade, since even though we are now into 2026 on the calendar, it still is the 2025 season. And that would be one of the biggest highlights of the decade for any of the three teams in this town. Because, yes, it has been that ugly. Let's just paint the picture for you for the big three in Pittsburgh. We will start with the Steelers. 2020, what feels like so long ago. We went through a global pandemic in that year. There weren't fans in the stands for the almost the entire duration of the NFL season. And even in the end, just pockets of fans throughout the stadium. The Steelers, they started 11-0. They went 12-4. They did win the AFC North, the only one of the decade so far, but that also was accompanied by a loss in the wild card round to the hated Cleveland Browns, 48-37. Which, by the way, Kevin Stefanski wasn't even present at the game. He was watching the game in his basement, in his man cave, when the Browns beat the Steelers. 2021, Big Ben's final season. The final ride for the old Cowboy, 9-7-1. It was a roller coaster. It was a fun watch to see Big Ben go out, but it was a wild card loss and an ugly one to cap his career. A 42-21 loss in Kansas City that the Steelers did at one point lead 7-0. Kansas City then scored 35 points in about 15 minutes of real time to give Pittsburgh a quick reality check. 2022, a 9-8 season. The Steelers missed the playoffs that year. It was Kenny Pickett's rookie campaign. Mitch Trubisky started the season before Pickett took over. A 2-6 start for the Steelers was rebounded with a 7-2 finish. A strong finish that sent us into 2023. Which was a 10-win season. 10-7? That was once 7-7 and saved by somebody who was put on the shelf for nearly the entire season. A throwaway third QB named Mason Rudolph, who stepped in with the Steelers at 500 and was the big force, the multiplier that got them into the postseason with three consecutive wins down the stretch. A loss to Buffalo in the wild card round. Josh Allen went off. The Steelers went down by three scores, as they are prone to do in the postseason. They lost the game 31-17. Pickett, Trubisky, and Rudolph started games, and I think years down the road, we will look at some of those seasons with the trio of Pickett, Trubisky, and Rudolph and think back to, yeah, even though one year they missed the playoffs and another year they made it and lost by two scores in the opening round, those will be remembered as some of Mike Tomlin's best years, because of what he was working with at QB. Last season, another 10-win season, but at one point, Pittsburgh was 10-3, coming off wins against the Washington Commanders and the Baltimore Ravens, looking like a team that actually belonged in the Super Bowl conversation. The Commanders would go to the NFC Championship game. The Ravens would win a playoff game. A combination of Justin Fields and Russell Wilson had this team back in the postseason, but it was five consecutive losses to finish the year, including a wild card loss in Baltimore when the Ravens and Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry ran for 299 on them in a 28-14 win, another game that was a three-score deficit early. Then this year, 9-7, week 18 on Sunday night against Baltimore. The winner claims the AFC North. It would be the second division title of the decade for Pittsburgh, and that has them looking like the most successful team in town out of the big three. It's also a chance for three straight 10-win seasons. A lot of NFL franchises would take that, but it's been same old around here for a long time. The playoff win would carry a whole lot more weight. But the totals in this half decade, 100 games on the nose, not counting those playoff losses. Regular season totals, the Steelers are 59-40-1, a 59.5% win percentage. One division title that could be two. They have made the playoffs four times. It could be five. However, they have zero playoff wins and zero championships to show for it. And remember, that team has been the bright spot out of the three major teams in town. As we move on to the Penguins. The 2021 season, meaning 2020 and 2021, due to COVID, that didn't even get started until January of 21. But Pittsburgh finished first in the Eastern Division. Things were done a little bit differently due to all of the COVID rules. They played fewer games. They finished 37-16-3. They lost in the Eastern Conference quarterfinals to the Islanders in six games. The next year, they were third in the Metro. They had 103 points. They won 46 games. 46-25-11, another Eastern Conference quarterfinal loss to a team from New York. This time the Rangers in seven games. You may remember that. Louis Domingue was getting starts in that series. Sidney Crosby had to miss some valuable time in that series. But then we have seen back-to-back-to-back seasons of no playoffs. The 22-23 season, they had 91 points. They ended their 16-year playoff streak. They were fifth in the Metro Division. 23-24, they were yet again fifth in the Metro. They had 88 points. They missed the playoffs for the second year in a row at 38-32-12. And then last season, 80 points, 7th in the Metro, Mike Sullivan's final season before he was let go. And now he is the head coach of the New York Rangers. This season is ongoing. Right now they are number 6 in the Metro with 43 points. Dan Muse's first season. They're right there in the mix. There's still a half season to be played. And it is looking better than what the last couple of seasons have actually looked like. A year where I, for one, thought they would be a pretty bad hockey team. They have been better than expected. But the totals for the Penguins in the half decade so far, 212 wins, 210 losses. Yes, I did count overtime and shootout losses as losses because that is what they are. A 50.2 win percentage, one division title, two playoff appearances, zero playoff series wins, and zero championships to show for it. Now let's have some fun. On to the Pittsburgh Pirates. 2020, the shortened COVID year, 60 games, they were the worst team in baseball. 19 wins, 41 losses. No playoffs. Fifth in the NL Central. 2021, 61-101. They did lead the NL Central for 2 days. No playoffs. Last in the NL Central. 2022, 62-100. No playoffs. They were tied for last in the NL Central with Cincinnati. 2023, we saw a nice little jump. It looked like they were turning a bit of a corner. 76-86, a 14-win improvement, up to fourth in the NL Central. Oh, by the way, they drafted a pitcher named Paul Skeens. Then 2024. 76-86 again. That's a little bit annoying. They stayed in the same spot. They did spend 17 days at first place. And Paul Skeens came up in early May, and he was even better than advertised. He won the Rookie of the Year going away. And then 2025. Ooh, disappointing. 71-91. Yet again in last place in the NL Central. Derek Shelton was fired after a 12-26 start. And then Don Kelly takes over. Goes 59-65. Oh, by the way, Paul Skeens, Cy Young winner, unanimously. One of the most dominant seasons, probably the most dominant season we have ever seen from a Pirates pitcher. So their totals in the 2020 so far, 365 wins, 505 losses, a win percentage below 42%, zero division titles, zero playoff appearances, obviously zero playoff series wins or championships. And here's a fun one. Five last place finishes, including being tied for last in 2022 with Cincinnati. Not great, people. Not great. And when does it get better? I feel like I've been asking this same question on New Year's Day for the last couple of years, because I seemingly get to sit in a host chair every year on New Year's Day. And I want to ask, who will be the next team to win a title? Who will be the next team to win a playoff series or a playoff game? We are grasping at straws here. People that were around for the 1980s, they saw bad sports in this town. I wasn't around yet in the 1980s. I always heard the horror stories of Steelers football from that time period. They were about as good, if not better, than what they are right now. A couple of bad seasons, but they won some playoff games. The Penguins drafted a guy named Mario Lemieux. The Pirates had such a strong finish to the 70s. Crossed over a little bit into the 80s, and certainly not as ugly as what we have seen today. This has a chance, the 2020s, to be worse than the 1980s if the back end of the decade matches the beginning. 412-928-9370. We have something for you to win coming up next. People always like free stuff. We have tickets for you to win to a big event, the Pittsburgh RV Show at the Convention Center from January 9 to 11, also January 16 through 18. Call in next. Give me a compelling case on these two questions at 412-928-9370. Which team will be the next in Pittsburgh out of the big three to win a championship? But really, which team will be next to win anything of significance, that being a playoff game or a playoff series? 412-928-9370, a four-pack of tickets to the Pittsburgh RV Show at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center on the line next at 412-928-9370. You can also hit us up on the fan text line. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Jason Mackey comes up in about 15 minutes, but your calls are next at 412-928-9370. Donnie Football in for the guys on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Donnie Football in for the guys on this New Year's Day 2026. And we are playing for tickets right now. 4 tickets to the Pittsburgh RV Show next weekend and then the weekend after that at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center, January 9 through 11 and then January 16 through 18. If you can give me the most compelling case on which team will be the next to win a playoff game or series in Pittsburgh, which team will be the next to win a championship, something of significance. That's how dire it is. I am asking the obligatory question every single January 1st because we are in the midst of perhaps the worst decade in Pittsburgh sports in about 50 years. The 80s were bad. Everybody likes to tell me that. I wasn't around for it. But man, the 2020s are giving it a run for its money. Because the 3 major pro sports teams in town have combined for a whopping 2 division titles, handful of playoff appearances, 6 to be exact, 0 playoff wins. In either a game in the Steelers' case or a series in the case of baseball and hockey. And the baseball team in town has 5 last-place finishes so far in the decade. Tied for one of them. 412-928-9370. We start with Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Hi, Donnie. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I was around in the 80s and it was bad, yeah. I don't think this is quite that low yet, but it's getting there. But standing from standpoint of all three teams are at the same baseline at this point in time, I think the Penguins from top to bottom as an organization have the best people in place to get the pieces in place to make a even a playoff appearance and a win.
Yeah, I mean, it's always easy. Thanks for the call, Mike. I feel like when you have a player like Sidney Crosby in the fold, the Penguins are the easiest to go to there. I do think Kyle Dubas has made some good moves. You know, not every move that he makes do I think is a bad one. I think he's had some savvy little ones, especially recently. I like his move to move away from Tristan Jarry in that deal. I do think Sidney Crosby just carries so much weight when it comes to the Penguins. When it comes to that team being the one that people circle. 412-928-9370. Stretch is on the fan. What's up, Stretch?
Hey, Donnie. Happy New Year to you. I'm about to go through the dryer and the car wash here, so it's going to get loud. I'll be quick.
Alrighty.
So, first of all, I heard you say it has to be among the big three. That's too bad. It kind of plays into the hands of the owners. But I would say the team that's most likely to get a championship is going to be Pitt Volleyball, because you got the two-time player of the year coming back for her senior year and a great recruiting class. And I think they'll be their six times the charm at the Final Four for Pitt Volleyball. Among the big three, I think most likely to make the next playoff appearance is going to be the Pirates. And that's because Major League Baseball, the playoff structure is so wide open. There's so many wild card teams. And Paul Skeens is Paul Skeens.
Stretch, I like some of those points there. Yeah, if I open it up to more, I think a lot of people would just easily say that it would be the Riverhounds, who just won the USL Championship, or Pitt Volleyball to finally get over the hump. Because Pitt Volleyball, as great as that has been, they have failed to get past the Final Four. They make the Final Four every year. Dan Fisher has created a powerhouse, but they do not have a national championship yet. Olivia Babcock, I said yesterday, one of the Mount Rushmore figures in Pittsburgh sports in 2025. Best player in her sport. They have yet to win a championship. But we got one there for the Pirates. So far we have a Pirates pick. We have a Penguins pick. Will we have a Steelers pick? 412-928-9370. Zach is next. What's up, Zach?
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Yep.
You can chalk another one up for the Pirates, man. I'm telling you, this team right now, as currently constructed, is going to make the playoffs this coming season and probably going to win a playoff series with the pitching that they have. They have not just schemes, but you got Chandler, you got Jones, you got Keller, Ashcraft. The nucleus of young pitching that they've accumulated through the draft has set them up in a position to not only compete this year, but I'm going to tell you right now, the window doesn't close when Skeens leaves town, because of the nucleus of pitching that they have, the ability to move those assets that they're going to create in Chandler and Skeens for the next 5 to 10 years to get more players down the road to add to a base. They're going to be able to compete for the NL Central, which people talk about how the Pirates are, got their heads below water because they are, a terrible market and everything like that. But you look at the NL Central, and quite honestly, they're not that far off in terms of market size from a St. Louis, from a Milwaukee, and from a Cincinnati. They can compete with those teams in terms of dollars and cents. You know, you got the Cubs, the big market, but they always cry poor anyway. So I think if with the talent they have accumulated at the pitching and the assets that they've acquired this offseason, and let's cross our fingers and hope Okamoto signs in the next couple of days, Pirates win a playoff series this year.
Zach, I'm going to put you on hold. You're in the running for these tickets. I want to get a few more takes in here, but some compelling stuff there. And you took it a step further, suggesting, hey, I don't think it's over once Paul Skeens does move on. I think they could actually build from what they already have. Paul Skeens walking out that door does not mean the window is closed. 412-928-9370. Bill is in Moon. Now he's on the fan. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Donnie. Hey, some good points being made. That last caller, as far as the Skeens leaving thing, that's probably going to be the Pirates' best time period, really, because of how much we're going to acquire when Skeens finally leaves. But the problem with that is going to be the lockout that seems to be looming overhead, and you know, how that's going to affect everything. So I don't know so much about the Pirates. I think that might be a little far off. I love the pit call. My little boy and I, my little girl, we've gone to the pit playoff games, and man, I can't believe they haven't, you know, got over the Final Four yet. But my call, I guess, and the Pens too, the Pens, they have some good players, but they're just going to have such big turnover with, you know, their big three that, you know, just finally, I mean, it seems to be Malkin's last year, but I think, I don't know if they're going to have the personnel in place to make a decent run before the Steelers. I mean, acquiring a couple picks for next year with the draft being here, who knows what might happen as far as trying to make some moves, even additional moves for that. And Omar Khan, he seems to have like a magic wand, and he just seems to keep, you know, trying to figure neat moves out to try to put this team over the top. So whatever ends up happening next year, if Roger stays or goes, I think that with Omar Khan, some of the picks that we have coming up, and, you know, God forbid we make some coaching changes to try to get some fresh blood in there, I think out of those three big three, I think it'll most likely be the Steelers that will at least do something significant, playoff win, and maybe even make a significant run at a championship before the other two teams.
All right, Bill, I'm going to also put you on hold. I like that call a lot. That's the first one that comes in favor of the Steelers. So we have a couple of Pirates, one Penguins, one Steelers selection so far. I do like the limb that some go out on with the Buccos because we haven't seen it. If you're a younger fan, you know, if you're around my age, if you're Dom's age, you just haven't seen it. There's at least proof of concept with the Penguins and the Steelers in the last decade or two that they can win things of significance. 412-928-9370. The lockout point made by Bill was a good one too, because who knows what kind of question marks that brings up with a team like the Pirates in Major League Baseball. 412-928-9370. Patrick is in the car. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Donnie, how you doing? Happy New Year's to you, brother.
Thanks, you too. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, a lot of passion on the calls, but unfortunately it's ignoring reality. The simple reality is the Pirates are terrible. They don't win. They're never going to win. It's a Triple-A team. They don't even build for Steve. They're not going to build when he's gone. And the Steelers don't care. We're going to be stuck with Tomlin. I have 15 years of data that says they're not going to do anything. The Pirates aren't going to do anything. Unfortunately, it all rests on the Pens. I don't think Crosby's going to be around much longer. He can't be. I don't know how he's played this long, but the Pens are the only realistic chance we have to do anything in the next decade.
Thanks, Pat. I appreciate the call. I mean, again, we're leaning on Sid a lot, and I understand. He's one of the greatest to ever play his sport. But you say there one part of the sentence, he's not going to be around much longer. Then when are they going to win again? They don't have another player like him. And unless they're really, really bad and get lucky again with the lottery draw, are they going to get another player like him? Or like Mario, or something even close to that. That's where I think that gets difficult. Now, yeah, hockey, it's a sport where if you get in, you know, weird things can happen in the playoffs. I think that's like the most prone to upset playoff structure that there is. We see teams every year sneak in as the final seed, and they end up winning a series or two. That happens. I don't know. I mean, once Sid is gone, if they can't win again with him, I don't know the next time that's happening. And I don't know if I would go as far to say the Steelers don't care. Is it frustrating what we have seen for the last near decade, no playoff wins, going on 9 years of that if they don't win one this year? It's frustrating. But I don't think we can say that they don't care. We have seen them have a ton of success. Behind the times, yeah, they may be that. They need to get a little bit more modern. They've had a little touch of that with Omar Khan. but they need to even improve that. I don't even know the way that I would answer this, because the Pirates actually feel like if they get there, they could win a series. But the whole problem is them getting there. And I have never seen them do it to actually win a full series. I've seen them go to five games against the St. Louis Cardinals in 2013. That's the most I've seen. I've seen a couple of one-game wild cards. Two of them bad losses. One of them a victory. But that's the high point for an entire generation of Pirates fans. Crazy enough, I think I would have to, I would pick the Steelers if I had to. But, I mean, we're setting the bar incredibly low. Dom, I'm going to let you break the tie here. I'm between Bill and Zach as to who gets these tickets.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for positivity. I think it's my new outlook here in 2026. Huh. So I love the positivity from Zach. But I think he's dead wrong. I think Bill's more right. So I think Bill should be the victor on this New Year's Day.
All right, Bill. Bill from Moon Township. Get his info once we go to break here, Dom. And he will be getting the four-pack of tickets to the Pittsburgh RV show next weekend, the weekend after that, at the convention center. Coming up, Jason Mackey. He covers the Penguins and the Pirates for the Post-Gazette. We will chat with Jason in a minute. Then we get to some resolutions for the year 2026. That comes up once we get close to 3 p.m. That's next right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. First trip out to the Fan Hotline today, and that is where we find Jason Mackey from the Post-Gazette. He covers the Pirates and, for now, the Penguins, until that is solved up over at the PG in just a little bit. But, Jason, before we get into both of those teams, I have to ask the question that I was asking the listeners earlier in the show, the obligatory question to start another year. Which team out of the three major pro teams in town is the closest to winning a championship?
Oh, man.
One of the hardest questions you could possibly answer.
I know. I was hoping you wouldn't come to me with this one. I hope we could talk about something else. Winning a playoff series, I might take the Pirates. And I believe in what they're doing. And I heard you talk about it with the starting rotation. If you can add some offense, I completely agree with that. Winning a championship, I don't see how it happens with the Penguins. I think they could win a playoff series. But again, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, they're up there. I guess, yeah, I'd probably go the Steelers, but I don't feel great about it. Maybe the Pirates will surprise everybody and go on a magical run, and they'll be the ones that win it. They do have the pitching staff to do it. I'm sort of just saying that. I don't think it's going to be the Penguins. Tough question to answer, man.
I know. I mean, it sucks. It sucks that we don't know how to answer it. I mean, what, a decade ago, it was reasonable for us to say any of the three, but that's because the Steelers were regulars winning playoff games. They were getting to the AFC Championship. The Penguins had won back-to-back Stanley Cup titles. The Pirates were coming off three of their best years, really the three only great years since 2000. And
yeah,
a decade later, it feels like we just are grasping for straws with all three of them. But it does feel that way to me, Jason, that the Pirates, if they were to get there, they could go toe-to-toe with a team because they do have the pitching. And you always need that in baseball. It's just a matter of them putting it together. Because for as good as the offseason has started for them, who knows? They could come out, they could have some injuries, they could win 75 games again, and we could all be disappointed.
Yep. And they also face the toughest hill, or the steepest hill, maybe I should say, with the way Major League Baseball is, right? I mean, it's just, you have capped sports in the other ones. They make a lot more sense. Like, the Pirates are still competing against the Dodgers. We can think that they have the greatest offseason ever, you know, and I think they're having a very good one, but they're still competing with payrolls that are 3-4, maybe even 5 times their size. Like, it's ridiculous. But the interesting thing to me, Donnie, if you think about the three teams and who has the most pieces in place, I'd argue that the Pirates do. That, like, if the Steelers would win a championship, we probably don't know who that quarterback is. Maybe DK Metcalf is a wide receiver. Like, there's some stuff that needs to happen between then and now. Like, there's a lot that needs to happen on the Penguins front if they were going to win a championship. I don't think it's going to be with Sid. I think it's probably going to be with the new young core. I think we know the most about the Pirates. I just think the hill is the steepest.
And staying with the Buccos, Jason, what has been your favorite move that they've made this offseason so far?
I guess the Tampa Bay Rays trade. It's kind of a cop-out, right? Like, you know, I'm going 3-for-1. But I think Brandon Lowe is a perfect fit in the ballpark. We talked to Jake Mangum yesterday, and I knew a little bit about him. I learned a lot more about him yesterday. Just the type of game he plays, hustle, all out, relentless, the positive energy. I think it's really something that the Pirates have needed. Honestly, Donnie, what I'm looking for, and I'll preface it by saying I don't think it's going to be Okamoto, but I think the next and final move, or you know, like, they still have at least one big bat to get, or one bat to get, and whether it's trade, free agency, I think this move is going to be the one. You know, I'm not saying like it's going to be huge. I'm just saying if they make the right move, people are going to look at their offseason in totality and say, like, you know what? Yeah, they're serious. I like it. I'm on board.
So
if it's the right one.
So you don't think that will be Okamoto?
No, I don't. I don't.
Do you think?
I mean, they're not out. Like, they're still, you know, keeping tabs, interested and involved. I just think the odds are, it's unlikely.
Do you think it could be Eugenio Suarez?
Could be. I'm not crossing him off. What I've heard, I'd say probably trade is the greater possibility. And again, they're not out on Okamoto or Suarez. Very actively involved, interested, all that stuff. But yeah, I think a trade possibility is probably, if I was a betting man, I'd go with that option.
How are they going to, kind of work this lineup? Because one of the nice things about they acquire some dudes who can hit the ball well, and I think could even, you know, benefit more by playing at PNC Park, Lau, O'Hearn. But what will that lineup roughly look like? Like, you know, does Spencer Horwitz take a different role, or does he stay at first base and O'Hearn is maybe the DH? You know, how are those things going to be worked out, do you think?
Yeah, man. I mean, there's a lot of moving pieces with that stuff. I'll say, I think Horwitz is going to play get the majority of his at-bats at first base. They like him there. He's their best defensive first baseman. I think O'Hearn's probably going to be a bounce around guy. You're going to see him in the outfield some, DH some. He hits left-handed pitching well, so I mean that's a way to sort of load up there. Horwitz does not. Not like you'd take him out of the lineup if he's playing well. So it just gives you some flexibility. It's probably a long-winded way of saying I don't think there's a definite answer, Donnie, on like how you work that, but they actually have options, you know. And then I think there are other questions to ask, like, does Andrew McCutchen fit into this? Where does his bat fit? What happens with Joey Bart? They're two sort of redundant players. They hit left-handers well. They're righties that you're probably going to bring off the bench. So I don't know what happens with those guys, but there's a lot of fungibility with this lineup, and it's not like grasping at straws. You know, we're not talking about like playing Ildemar Vargas. Like, they're actual players.
The Exxon Valdez from last season. I can't even remember. Right. Emmanuel Valdez? Was that the guy's name?
Emmanuel Valdez.
Emmanuel,
yes.
Valdez. Yeah, I mean, he actually had a nice little start. Then he got hurt, and then that was all she wrote. Here's what I will say about Andrew McCutchen, because I did want to take the conversation there. The nice thing is that if they do bring Kutch back, we don't have to be treated as if that's like one of their big offseason moves.
Right.
Like, hey, guys, we threw you another bone. Here's Andrew McCutchen, another reunion with the Pirates. Like, now he could actually just be a dude that comes off the bench or starts against lefties. Like, it doesn't feel like he has to be a key part of any offense.
That's what it should be. I mean, that's the outcome I'm rooting for, Donnie. That you bring Kutch back. He's a good seven hitter. You end this the right way. You honor him. I hope Kutch, like, I know he doesn't want to do this. I hope he does. And, you know, I hope he, like, has this realization. Like, say this is it, man. Just say, like, yeah, it's probably going to be it. You don't have to make, like, an official tour. But, you know, I think if you accept a lesser role, if you say this is it, you go out the right way, everybody claps. And I think the Pirates would be willing to do that. I think, you know, I think Kutch would probably, if he would make that admission, I think he'd be willing to do it. But I think there's also part of Kutch's brain that says, I still want to play. I still can play. I'm not going to accept a lesser role. So I don't know which one of those wins out on Andrew, but I, you know, I'm rooting for the one that keeps him here. I think that would be the best thing.
Is Jake Mangum going to be somebody that starts and either, you know, bats maybe first or ninth in the lineup? I mean, he's a dude that can get on base and he can steal bases.
Yeah, I think he's going to play a lot, Donnie. I think it depends on where this next ad is. I think there's another bat to be had. If that bat is an outfielder, it's probably going to cut into Mangum's time. If that bat is a third baseman, then I think you're going to see Mangum play a little bit more. But he's going to have the opportunity to play a ton, man. They like the way this kid plays. Ben Cherington called him a pest. Thought it was a good use of term. He's trying to hit for a little bit more power this year, but was nearly a 300 hitter playing 120 games for a team in the AL East. Like, I want to hear him out and see what he has.
Does it mean we see very, very little to none of Jack Sawinski?
Yes.
Thank goodness.
I don't see how he fits on the roster, Donnie. Like, I mean, we haven't talked about the password. You know, he's their, what, third, fourth
option. He does get forgotten about, yeah. Jostinson Garcia.
Good job. I can't pronounce that if my nose isn't in the baseball stuff. I wasn't even going to go there. No, man, but I just can't see. I don't see a path for Sawinski on this team.
Does Garcia make a pretty early appearance on the big league club? Like, what do you think his track is going to look like in 2026?
Honestly, I think he starts in AAA, Donnie, unless there are injuries. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, he's only played 6 games up here. But I think right now you want to give Reynolds a chance to get right. You want to give Cruz a chance to get right. You might have another ad in the outfield. Mangum, I think, you know, he's ahead of Jostinson Garcia on the depth chart. And I don't think it does Garcia any good to sit. So that's the way I'm looking at it. I mean, I hope nobody gets hurt, but I think that's probably your best option to just have him playing every day and then see what happens. If he's producing and forces his way on here, then you figure it out. It's a good problem to have.
Does Nick Gonzalez start at shortstop now? And when is he supplanted by Connor Griffin?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's going to be determined by Griffin. I will say this, that, you know, like the passing thing, that was not eyewash or whatever, that they're going to give him an opportunity. Like that, that's been my understanding all along. I mean, I fully expect there to be some level of conversation. I'm not saying it's going to like take gigantic traction, about, you know, extension, long-term stuff. Like it makes all the sense in the world to at least open the door. Is he on the roster? I think if he shows that he's ready, I think he will be. I don't think they have any interest in stopping him, but it just, it depends on how he performs in spring. He hasn't been up in AAA. So, you know, Gonzalez is an option. Triolo's an option. Connor Griffin's their shortstop of the future. I just don't know if it's going to be opening day 26.
I feel like Triolo will always have a spot just because of what he can provide defensively. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, I think you're right, Donnie. I think his, and I agree with that. I'm good with him being on the roster, man. If he's my 26th man and I can bounce him around and plug him in, great personality, great defense. Like, it, all of a sudden, nobody's questioning Jared Triolo's roster spot when you've got a bunch of guys that can actually hit. So, yeah, I'm fine with him being one of my bench guys.
Talking to Jason Mackey from the Post-Gazette, covers the Buccos, also for the time being, covers the Pittsburgh Penguins. We'll get to a couple of questions here about the Pens before we let Jason go. One of the nice things about this season so far to me, Jason, wins and losses aside, we are finally getting to see some youth on this roster, some guys that are, you know, 22 and under play a good bit. I feel like Mike Sullivan in his last couple of years was afraid to do that. But, I mean, Ben Kindle, a good example, 18-year-old kid, and he's kind of leading the charge of the youth movement for the Penguins here going into 2026.
Yeah, I agree with that, Donnie. And that's been one of my takeaways being over there too. Like, you can see the plan, man. I mean, you can see what they're doing. Murashov's not up here with the big club, but he's going to be at some point. You know, he's a good young goaltender. Artur Shelov's, I'll give him credit. He's played a heck of a lot better. Harrison Brunick, you can watch him in World Juniors right now. Like, you can, these are important pieces that are coming together. Rutger McGroarty being up there, he's been fun to watch. Ville Koivunen at various times. The new guy they just got, I might mess up his name, but Igor Chinnikov from the Columbus Blue Jackets. Like, he's going to be playing on the third line tonight. Eager to see what he has. So, yeah, I mean, you're seeing these pieces. It's not all the way there. This team is, you know, flawed in some ways, but I think they're a lot better than we expected in other ways. It's a very good special teams team. But as far as young talent and the plan crystallizing, you're seeing Kyle Dubas kind of spend some of those draft picks in a smart way. I've liked it. I like the path they're on.
With some of the last few moves, trades that Kyle Dubas has made, how do you feel about those at large? We have some early returns on the Jari move, Chinnikov, and then the trade that was made yesterday as well with Philip Tomasino. We really don't have the early returns yet there, but at least on paper, what were your initial thoughts?
So I was totally on board with trading Tristan Jari, Donnie. I caught some flack from fans, and I'm still on board with it. Like, I think it was the right move. I am not questioning it. I'm good with the return. Kulak has been better the past two games, I want to say, maybe the past three. I'm trying to think when he had one good – no, the past two, Chicago and Carolina. Sorry, I just caught myself. But Stuart Skinner was very good his last time out. I'm not looking at those guys as, like, the big-time return, though. Like, you can flip them. That was the strategy here. Like, let those guys play, have them get right, trade them at the deadline, and then get something additional. They also got a 2029 second round pick. I'm good with it. But I think Jari was a ticking time bomb. I worried whether he could stay healthy. That was proven right in Edmonton. Who knows what happens with this strong start to the season, whether he was able to sustain that. You got to make the move while you can. They got out from under every dollar of that contract, which I think really helps the Penguins going forward. So, yeah, I mean, the other guys like the Chinnikov, the Tomasino trade, the other guy named Igor.
Yeah, they just keep getting guys named Igor.
The defenseman from the Flyers. So, I mean, they're high upside guys who haven't been able to figure it out with their teams. Tomasino is one of those. It didn't click here. So that's the way Dubas has to do this. I don't have any problem with him.
Jason Mackey, check him out at the Post-Gazette, covers the Buccos, also covering the Penguins, at least for, a couple of more
weeks?
One last weekend, Donnie.
Yep. Back Monday, we're going to be full speed ahead with baseball, so looking forward to it.
There we go. Jason, thanks for taking the time. I hope you had a great New Year's Eve, and hope you have a great 2026.
Same to you, Donnie. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. And Dom, Sorry, Dom. Happy New Year, guys.
Jason Mackey from the Post-Gazette. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Cloudy and frigid tonight. Low of 15, partly sunny tomorrow, high reaching 26. Dom, where do you come down on the discussion that we've had for the majority of this first hour? The team that's closest to winning a championship, or really just winning anything of significance, you know, winning a playoff game, winning a playoff series. Do you think it's the Steelers because you have the most faith in their coach and their structure and the fact that, hey, they just got to win one playoff game and that's something? Or do you believe in, hey, Sidney Crosby might have one more run? Or is it, if the Pirates get there, they have the pitching staff that can allow them to make a run? So far, I'll just say the early returns on social media, the Twitter poll that's out there, about 150 votes in, the Pirates are leading the way, 44.7%. Steelers in last at 22%.
I really, really want to say the Pirates, and I'm more optimistic on them than I've been in almost a decade. I do still think it's the Steelers. I know I said earlier this week I think they're losing on Sunday, although I'm starting to maybe rethink that. So I think the answer is still the Steelers, just because of the head coach, because of the quarterback they have now. Now, this is all indicative on what I think they're going to do this year. I think the Steelers, again, I'm starting to rethink Sunday. I think there is now a chance they make the playoffs this year. And if they do, who knows what happens? If we're talking long-term next 2 years, Pirates could be the answer. But right now, who do I think is the closest? I think it's the Steelers, because I think they're going to maybe do it in the next couple weeks.
I just had a neighbor ask me today. You know, we live in a little townhouse community, so I let Sarah park in the driveway. I park on the little parking pad that's like right up the hill. So I'm walking up the hill today. Older guy is out there. He knows what I do for a living. So he, you know, he's like, hey, you know, how do you think it's going to go Sunday? What do you think's going to happen? My answer, a genuine answer, I said, well, I think they're going to lose. So that means they'll probably win. I've had no idea how to see this team, especially late in the year. You know, early in the year, I feel like I was mostly, you know, at least getting the games right in terms of wins and losses. But down the stretch, they've won every game that I thought they would lose, and they have lost the games where I thought they would win. A couple of them, you know, cast aside. Like, you know, the Dolphins game I felt good about. They took care of business. And I thought they would lose in Baltimore. I thought they would lose in Detroit. I thought, stupidly, you know what, they'll take care of business in Cleveland. Didn't happen. They've been really tough for me to pick. I have not been able to crack them yet, so we'll see if we can figure it out in the final game of the regular season here in 2025.
What were your thoughts in the over-under for Oregon-Texas Tech point total-wise? What do you think about that?
Yeah, that one's looking horrific as well, but I'll say, little double-edged sword, I placed a wager in the back, and as that game sits at 16-0 right now, and yet again, further proof that the NCAA will have to quickly change the structure of the college football playoff, because the teams with a bye going into the quarterfinal round are about to be 0-6 to start that change. Ohio State losing last night. Texas Tech down 2 scores, about to be 3 scores if this field goal is made. I placed a wager in the back to have this game go over. A horrendous kick. D1 kickers stink. I do not understand how a high-level D1 program sends out some bird who can't make a 35-yard field goal. We see kickers regularly knock it down from 50-plus yards in the NFL, and the highest level of college football can't find a guy to make one from 35 yards. Besides the point, I place a wager on over 44.5 points in this game, and what did I tell you the moment it happened? I said this game will be 3-0 at halftime. It was 3-0 with about 2 minutes to go in the first half, and Oregon added a field goal. It was 6-0 at halftime. I said, we're done. Right off the bat, we're done. It never fails. It never fails. If I would have bet the under, it would have been 28-24 at halftime. Like, sometimes I do feel that way. I really feel no matter which direction I go, and the opposite's going to happen.
Who'd you pick for Bama, Indiana?
I picked Bama, so you're in trouble because I know you picked Bama.
Yeah, I also picked Bama. We'll be sweating that one out together because now the game's at 4 o'clock this year. First time Rose Bowl's not at 5 in who knows how long.
Yeah, and they've had some bad weather in Pasadena pretty much for the last, 48 hours, it seems. They had the game day crew out there last night. It was a downpour. They had them out there this morning. It was a downpour. 412-928-9370. So we'll keep you updated on those college football playoff games as the day goes on. Coming up, we get to some resolutions for the 2026 calendar year in Pittsburgh sports. That is next right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.